During the Second World War, six airmen flew out from planes from their flight deck in an aircraft carrier in the Atlantic Ocean. While they were on their mission, night came and the ship's radar system picked up an enemy ship in the area. The captain of the aircraft carrier gave the command, black out. You know, you don't want any lights on. You don't want to let the enemy ship know where you're at. All the lights in the ship are turned out at that point. Every light was turned out. It became completely dark. Not long after, though, the planes returned from their mission. And they knew that they had to be right there, but they couldn't see the ship. You know, their instruments tell them we're in the right area. So the first pilot radioed the ship, our mission is completed. We're coming home. Turn on the lights. The radio operator explained, there's enemy ship in the area. We can't. The command is black out. A second pilot radioed the ship, give us just a few lights and we'll make it in. We'll just try and make it in with just a few lights. The radio operator said, sorry, we cannot. Lights would endanger the several thousand lives on the ship. The order is blackout. A third pilot then radioed the ship and said, just listen carefully. Just give me one light at the end of the run, at the beginning of the runway, and we'll make it in. The captain then of the aircraft carrier gave another command, break radio contact. To those men in their planes, that one single light would have been very important for them that night. Without light, they could not return to the safety of the ship. You know, there are many people today in the world today that are spiritually in the same position. They are lost in the darkness of sin. John 3:19-20 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why is it hard to get unsaved people to come out to church? Why is it hard to get even your unsaved friends or family to come out to church? They don't want to see the light. They love darkness rather than light. And so they don't want to come to the light. If they come to the church, they know they'll hear preaching that will reveal their sin. Verse 20 says, in John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, all that do evil hate the light. They don't come to church because when they come, they will hear the word of God and be convicted by it. Without light, they are lost in sin and darkness. So what is the answer for this darkness? What can penetrate the darkness of sin? In John 12:46, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In this passage, the Lord compares us to light. In fact, he states that we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16. I'll just read those for us this morning. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What can we learn from this passage that will help us, you and I, to be better lights? We're all called to be lights, but what can we learn to help us to be better lights? We must see that light has certain qualities that are essential if we're to be proper lights. You know, there's all different kinds of lights. I mean, we look in here and there's different lights just in here, but you go into a Menards or something like that, and how many different lights do they have? And they all give out a little bit different light, don't they? Some are meant to just be, you know, a night light that you just put in that just illuminates the hallway a little bit at night when it's really dark. It's amazing what a little light can do in the midst of great darkness. You know, have you ever thought about that? Just a little night light, just those little LED ones now. And the little bit of light that can be shown in great darkness. And so there's all different types of lights. And so as we look through this, what type of a light are you? What type of a light do you put out in this world? So we're going to look at four qualities of light that we as Christians should have. And the first quality of light is that light reveals. Light reveals. Verse 14 starts out by saying that we are the light of the world. And to understand what that means for us and the world, it's helpful to look at other passages that reveal to us what light does. Other passages that reveal what light does. I'm just going to read this one. Jesus said in John 11:9, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. So Jesus here states that physical light, the sun, helps men walk and not stumble. Light reveals dangers in your path. Light reveals dangers in your path. Walking, you know, I'm sure all of you have maybe at one time walked in the darkness, and at the end of it, you thought, I should have turned on the light, or I should have carried a flashlight with me. Because how many of you walked in the darkness and then you stepped on something, or you tripped over something, and it's like the outcome isn't very good. And often it's because you just didn't turn on the light. Nick had, I don't know how many times as a young guy, Nick got me in trouble, you know, Legos on the floor or something like that. And you know, you walk across the floor and you step on a Lego. And I don't know if the Legos have little points that stick out, you know, when you step on them, so they even hurt more. If they're made that way, you step on them and little things jump up out of them. But Legos hurt. I mean, they're one of those things that's really bad. And now we thought we got rid of, you know, Nick. But then we brought a puppy into the house. You know what the puppy does? He carries his little bones and stuff around the house and just drops them right in the middle of the hallway. And some of those things, you step on them or you kick them and it's like, ow, that hurts. That, you know, light is really helpful. It reveals things. And Jesus said, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. So Jesus is the light of the world. If you walk in Jesus' light, light reveals the dangers of this life. So since physical light keeps men from stumbling in the darkness, if we are light, we should also help others. Jesus, you know, physical light helps us. Jesus' light helps us. And since we are lights, we are to help others see the dangers that await in the darkness. And obviously not all darkness is physical darkness, right? I mean, in reality, the passage is talking about physical darkness to help us to see that mankind can walk in spiritual darkness. And we have a whole world full of people out there that are walking in spiritual darkness, and the Bible says that we are to be the light for those people. We are to help them see the dangers. And the only way to do that is to talk to them. I mean, we can't just walk around and just show it by our actions. We actually have to talk to people about that. Proverbs 4:18 and 19 says this, but the path of the just, the righteous person, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So as you grow in Christ, your light should grow. You know, it's like I got the three-way lamp there. You know, when you first get up, you might just turn on the first one because your eyes don't want even to have that one on. But you first get up in the morning, you turn on the first one. But then when it comes time to read my Bible in the morning, I click it up a couple. The light gets brighter. And as we grow in our Christian walk and we grow closer to the Lord, that light should just keep going up. It's like having the dimmer on. Starts out really dim and we just get brighter and brighter and brighter as we go on in our life, in our Christian life. So our first objective as lights in the world would be then to reveal to the lost the danger of remaining in the darkness. Just to reveal the danger of remaining in the darkness. Walking in the darkness has many negative effects on people today. I mean, we can see that in our country. We can see that, in our society. The negative effects of taking God out of our society. We need to be lights. Now, I'm not saying that we necessarily are going to change everything about what people think, but we need to be lights. Taking God out of our society leads to no respect for life, which leads to abortions. It leads to people taking others' lives. You know, it seems like every day now there's some shooting and there's no thought of life and the sanctity of life and that people are created in the image of God. And our world is getting darker and darker. And so each one of us needs to try to be a light. And I realize you may feel like a nightlight that's barely glimmering. But the darker the world gets, even that little light that you have can be a major help. You know, it leads to taking God out of our society leads to breakdown of the family. And we see the breakdown of society when the world gets dark and they take Jesus the light out of our country and out of our families. Things are getting darker. And so that means even if you have a dim light, like I said, that will shine more and more. And there's so many things in our society that cause darkness. Drinking causes all kinds of problems, auto accidents, health problems, family problems, murder, all those things that come with drinking. Drugs have broken homes, overdoses, crime, problems with the law. I've at times watched a show called Cops. And you watch a cop show and almost everybody that they deal with, it's drugs. You know, drugs are a sad state of our society. And immorality, all that is because of darkness. People walking in darkness can't see or don't want to see that Jesus is the answer to life's problems. What's the answer to America's problems? Jesus. What's the answer to the problems in our schools? Jesus. What's the answer to guns? No matter which way you fall on that, Jesus is the answer. Jesus, the light of the world, would solve the problems if people would just turn to him. But the problem is they want to walk in darkness. They don't only want to walk in darkness, they love walking in darkness. And the darkness seems to be growing. You know what? That seems depressing. But we have to remember, we serve a risen Savior. We just had Easter a little while ago. We serve a risen Savior. And he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And I think the way the world is going, I am no prophet. I think the world is going, though, we can hope and pray that Jesus will come quickly. That, you know, he is the victor. He wins. And we know in the end, Jesus wins. And so we don't have to be depressed about the state of the world and the darkness, because Jesus is the light, and one day he's coming back for the church. And he's going to take us up to be with him. And what a blessed day that will be. So even though we're looking at darkness and we think, how bad is that darkness? And how, you know, just it seems like it's overwhelming. Remember, Jesus wins. Jesus is the victor. So the next step, the second quality of light, is that light reproves. The biggest danger that the majority of mankind faces is the fact that they are lost in spiritual darkness. Let's turn to John 3. John chapter 3. And we're going to start with the verse that you should all know. So you know where to turn to now. John 3. 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation. Notice that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest or made known that they are wrought in God. So, true light will not only reveal sin, it will reprove or rebuke sin. Ephesians 5:11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So we need to reveal to the lost world that they are sinners and that sin has become between them and God. We need to tell them all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. You know, there's a movement today to emphasize the love of God, but to minimize his holiness. Our God is a God of love. I mean, it's said in the scripture, God is love. He does have mercy and he is long-suffering. Yet he also is a God of justice and judgment and righteousness. And our God hates sin. His love will not overrule his holiness. In other words, God loved the world and sent his Son, but because of his holiness, Jesus had to pay the price on the cross, but people have to accept that and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior for their sins to be forgiven. Psalm 7:11 says, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. People need their lives exposed to light. And that is because of God's word and his Holy Spirit and his holiness. Light not only reveals and reproves, it also guides. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5, 14. It's visible. Light should be visible. You are the light of the world, verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city that it's up on a hill, you can't hide it. The light is going to radiate. Have you ever been traveling out west at night, especially when we lived out in the western provinces of Canada, as you would travel across the prairies and there's hardly any light, there are not a lot of farmhouses in some of the areas, and you're traveling across the prairies, you would not have to look at the mile marker signs necessarily, because you could just look ahead and see the glow that there's a town coming up, there's a city coming up, because even though it's out on the prairie and it's flat, It just can't be hid. It's just visible from such a distance you could see the light. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Many of us have, as children, sang the song. What song did we sing? This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. The implication of this verse is that we are not to hide. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, you don't just, the idea here is we're not just not to hide it under a bushel. And I think at times we all do that. At times we just say, oh, in this situation, I'm just not going to let my light shine. I'm going to hide my light here. But it's not just not hiding it. It's not that we just don't put our light in an inconspicuous spot where maybe nobody can see, that we kind of hide out from that. Notice, where do we put our light? But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So it's not that we just don't put it in a bushel. I mean, you know, you were supposed to, remember the song, let it, you know, we did that circle thing. We let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's the idea of a candlestick. And what does the candlestick do? It elevates the light so that all that are there can see the light, that it's beneficial to everybody. Our lights are to be beneficial to every person there. It's like if we, all these lights went out and it was nighttime and it was dark, and we wouldn't put a candle underneath the pulpit here and think that it's going to help anybody. No, we would probably, at this point, we'd probably light these candles out here. I didn't put on my mic today. We'd probably light these candles out here in an elevated place so that they would help. And there's a candle back there. We'd probably light that one too, because that one's in a nice elevated spot, and it would help even more people, so it'd be more radiant and more people could be helped because of our light. So how about us? Where do we place our lights? Or how are good at we at being light to a lost world? A light must be visible on all the time for it to be useful. And Marilyn always wants to leave lights on because Nick comes home late at night, and she always wants to leave the lights on. You know, and it's like, I think he can make it in, honey. He's a big boy. I got to leave the outside lights on for Nick, you know, so that he can make it in. Well, there is the motion sensor light out there that will come on when he gets around the door. No, let's just turn on the lights. You know, mom's always got to take care of their kids and turn on the light. And, you know, I'm surprised she doesn't leave a path, you know, of lighted breadcrumbs to get to his bedroom or something, you know. Moms want to do that. They want to make sure their kids are safe in the light. And do we want to do that with the lost around us? Do we want to make sure there's a light on? So that when the lost around us are stumbling around in the darkness, that there's at least the opportunity. They might not want to listen, but at least there's an opportunity for them to see our light. You know, and our light can be described in so many different ways. The light that we have, it can be described or it can be shown in so many different ways. I think of, even praying at a meal. I was in a restaurant a while back and we prayed. And then I noticed over at the table, these guys' heads were down and they were a group of firefighters. And this whole group of firefighters at their lunch, they were all praying, and I was like, what a good testimony, you know, for them to have public servants, and they weren't ashamed to bow their heads, and they just didn't pray for just a short little time. Their heads were bowed for quite a while they prayed. And so what a testimony that they had. Now, other people may mock that, but they let their light shine, and I almost wanted to go up and talk to them, but I figured, well, they do only have a certain amount of lunch. You know, the guys like that, they might get a call at any time. So I didn't want to bother them and keep them from eating their lunch. But verse 16 says, let your light so shine. In other words, like on the candlestick. Let your light shine like the candlestick that's elevated. Like that. Jesus liked to use, some people don't like pastors who use illustrations. I'm not very good at illustrations. I have a hard time coming up with proper illustrations. But it's people who don't think pastors should give illustrations, look at Jesus' teaching. He used illustration after illustration after illustration. And this is, he's saying, just like if you went into that house and there was an elevated candle in there, be like that. Be like that type of a light in your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works so that you can get all the glory. That's how some people like that. So they can see all my good works and I can get all the glory. But who's to get the glory? See your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, the right kind of light will bring glory to God. When we have the type of light that we're supposed to have as believers, we're not trying to get to glory. We're not trying to get people. I mean, it's one of those hard things. Light is to attract people, and we are to attract people so that we have the opportunity to share Christ with them. But then as we attract them, we point them to Jesus. We attract them so we can point them to Him. And there are people who want to attract people to gather a following. And that's not what God wants us to do. Point people to Jesus. Point people to your Heavenly Father. Give Him the glory for all that's done. For all that He's done in your life. And all that He is going to do. Just remember to continue to give God the glory for everything. God is so good to us. And we just need to be the lights that He has called us to be in this world. And I just want to encourage you, be a light. Be a light. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go, strive to be that light. You know, think about your testimony. Think about the things you say. You know, even in traffic, be a light. That's hard these days. You know, people are driving crazy. You got the old people who can't drive, and you got the young people who think they can. You know, and be a light to those people. Don't shake your fist at them. That's hard, guys. And I've heard ladies have a hard time with that. You know, that's hard. But be a light in your automobile. Be a light. You know, when you go into a store and somebody has done something to you and you think they've cheated you or you think they've harmed you in some way, be a light. Let your light shine in those times. Be kind and be, you know, you can still try and get the right, you know, if you think they've wronged you, you can do it in a right way. I don't know how many times I'm in stores or restaurants and people are so rude to the servers and so rude to the people. And it's like, you know, if you got the wrong food, well, I know everybody. Have you ever made a mistake? Yeah, we've all made mistakes. Be kind and gracious. You know, say kind words to people. Instead of being upset at them, say, oh, sir, ma'am, this is, you know, it's a mistake here. Could I, you know, thank you for taking care of that for me. I appreciate you helping me. You know, instead of grumbling as you walk away because they didn't do, you know, be a light. There's so many areas of life that we can be a light. People think, wow, it sure is nice having, and especially someplace you go in all the time. I'm not saying, oh, if you don't go in there all the time, you can, oh, I'm traveling, I can be grumpy. No, but especially places where you're there all the time, be a light. Be kind to people. Make them think, boy, I wish more of my customers were like that person. Marilyn had a customer that came into the store, or into the bank all the time. And she was the kindest lady. And Marilyn, she even ended up going out to dinner with her one time just because she was such a kind customer. And she just stuck out. And she was always asking Marilyn how she's doing and always interested in her. And it's like, wow. And Marilyn didn't even think she's a Christian. You know, it's like so many of us Christians don't even have the light that some unsaved people have. And so let's be gracious. Let's be kind. And in all our dealings, let's show God's light to the lost world around us. You know what? Some Christians need some light too. Some Christians need some light too. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. As Christians, show God's love. Show God's light. Be gracious. Sermon's over.